Father, thank you for today. Thank you for the opportunity to be in your house. We ask you, Lord, now to bless your time together and with us. And God, we're just grateful, Lord, that we can open the Word of God together, Lord, and read it, and trust the Holy Spirit of God to be our teacher, Lord, as we get instruction from your Word today. Lord, bless your people that are here. Help them, Lord, to be encouraged. Help those, Lord, that are not able to be here. I pray, Lord, that soon they'll be able to come back. We thank you now again for this gathering. Have your will and way in the service today. Lord, may you be honored. May you be glorified in all we do and all we say. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Stewardship of the New Testament church. First of all, let's look at stewardship. Then we'll look at the New Testament church. What is stewardship? Someone has defined it as the management of a household. The management of a household. A steward is an individual who administers the household. An individual, a steward is. Now, we talk about the stewardship of the church. We see here this idea of a steward or stewardship of God in his relationship to the world and to his own life is in the creation account. In Genesis 1 through 3, we see this. We're going to see today here how man is appointed Lord of things, of all things but himself. He's not Lord of himself. In Genesis chapter 1, look, if you will, please, at verse number 26. Genesis 1, verse 26. The Bible says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image of God, created he him, and male female created he them. Verse 28, "And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have what? Dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." So we see here, man is appointed Lord of all things except himself. Except himself. We see men are stewards. We are stewards. We're not owners. When it comes down to the fact of life, folks, we don't own anything in this world. You know, it all belongs to God. God gives us things in this world to have, to enjoy life. You know, I'm reminded of the song, "Remind Me, Dear Lord." Most of you know that song. And we need to be reminded by God that there's nothing that I have in this world that he hasn't given me. It all belongs to him. God, we're not owners. We're literally stewards of what God enables us to have in our possession. We're stewards for that. We see the requirements for stewards. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 4. Talking about stewards. Stewardship. 1 Corinthians and chapter number 4. We'll look at the requirements of a steward as God gives us. Paul is writing here to the church at Corinth. He's giving them instructions, and he's trying to encourage them in their life with the Lord also. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 4, 1 Corinthians 4, verse number 2, we see here in the scriptures that what God is trying to tell Paul. Paul is trying to tell the church here, and we can apply this to our church today also, here at Fellowship Baptist Church. He's trying to relate to Paul, to the church here. 1 Corinthians chapter number 4 and verse number 2. If I can find it here, my pages are very thin, seem like. 1 Corinthians chapter number 4. Here we go. Let a man so account of us as are the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found what?
Faithful.
Faithfulness is the key to being a good steward, as God says in his word. Also administering of that trust also in directions that God would have it to go. So we see faithfulness is required of a good steward. Of a good steward. A householder takes faithfulness to administer that household, does it not? You have to be faithful, the Bible tells us this. Paul also here is describing the Christian ministers and their ministry as a steward of God over the church. The pastor is the minister. He is the steward over the church at Fellowship Baptist Church. He is the steward. He's the one who is accountable to the church here. And we as believers, as Christians today, we are said also to be stewards of God. We're to be stewards of God, of His gifts that He gives us and His graces that He pours out upon us every day. The gift that God has given to you as an individual, as a Christian, you and I are to be stewards of that help, that whatever it is, that ministry, whatever that gift is. And God is encouraging us in this thing of stewardship today as we look at the New Testament church. What is your place? What is my place in the church? As a member of Fellowship Baptist Church, you have a place. You have a work to do. There's something that you can do. And are we finding that place, and are we asking God to give us direction with that place and finding ourselves as a steward being faithful to Him through a church? I'm thankful that God has given us the opportunity to work for Him, aren't you? We can do something for Him, you know? It's not just on Sunday morning anyway. Also, it's during the week. We have the opportunity to do things for the Lord, and may God enable us to do that and help us to do that. So we see here stewardship of the New Testament church. We see stewardship is the management of a household. A steward is one who is doing that for the Lord in a church or where you may be. So we're looking at the New Testament church this morning. Now, I want to look at the church today as Paul describes it. We're going to look at 1 Corinthians again in just a minute, chapter 12. But I want to look, first of all, today, I want to take a close look at our churches today. Throughout the United States especially, statistics tell us that less than 20% of the population of the United States attend church regularly. Less than 20%. That's a sad number, is it not? Less than 20% of people in this United States attend church. We also see that churches that are 40 years old, up to maybe 100 years old, today in the United States is declining in numbers. They're going down. Churches that are less than 50 in numbers are not busting out the seams, but they are growing gradually, slowly. And those above maybe 2,000 people are growing slowly. But the church in between is not growing. And that's usually the church between 40 years old up to maybe 100 years old, as statistics tell us this. And so we see what's taking place. What's taking place? We see that statistics tell us by the year 2050, the percentage of the United States population attending church will be half of what it was in 1990. It'll be half in 2050 of what it was in 1990. Now, what's happening? We see, first of all, the future here of the American church, what's going to take place. We see that the church is projected to increase from 50 million in 1990 to 60 million in 2015. However, we see the population of the United States growing far above that. So we've got more people, population is concerned. We have less people in churches, percentage-wise, you see, because of the population of the United States. So what are we seeing here? We see here in the census estimates that America will grow from 248 million people to 520 million in 2050. That's the population increase that much. But what's happening to the churches? The churches are declining, most of them are, you see. Therefore, what is this telling us? This should encourage us to the fact that the fields are white until harvest. There's more people out there in the United States to tell about Christ, you see. And we need to be busy doing that, you see. We have an opportunity to grow as churches in America today because of the extent of the population growth that we're seeing in this country in which we live in. So we see here, it's calling us to action really as leaders and as born-again children. Work to do, folks. We have work to do, you see. Sad thing is, we're given today in the country, in this church, in the way we live, the church is an option. If we're given as an option, well, we're part of the problem. If we say the church is an option, the church is not an option, the church is necessary. It's necessary. It's something that we need in this country, you see, today. And church attendance is only the beginning. It's how we live, too. It's how we live. That influences people in the world more than just coming to church. Your neighbors know on Sunday morning your car is gone, you're going to be going to church probably, don't they? But on Monday morning, what do they know about you? What do they know about me? You see, that's very important. You see, that's very, very important, you see. We didn't realize that. The greatest spiritual danger in the world today, as far as the church is concerned, I really believe this all my heart as I read this, the greatest spiritual danger in our times is the separation of Jesus Christ from the church. A lot of churches do not teach, they do not preach, they do not honor Christ, they do have nothing to do with Christ. And that's the greatest spiritual danger we have in this country today, folks. Listen, if it weren't for Jesus Christ, we wouldn't have the church. If it weren't for the church, you and I would not know Jesus Christ. I was raised in a church. All my life, I went to Sunday school and church. I knew what it was to go to church because my parents were faithful. Now, thank God that I went to Sunday school and church, and it was that teaching and that preaching that I heard over and over and over again that helped me to realize I was lost and I needed to be saved. And likewise, it's going to be the same thing with people in the world today, you see. So we need to be reminded of this. The church is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And without him, there can be no church. And without the church, we cannot stay united with Jesus Christ. We cannot stay united with Jesus Christ, you see. So we see the statistics and the things concerning the attendance of churches today in this country that we live in. May the Lord help us to realize that the fields are white, folks. The fields are white. You probably have, and I do too, people move in all around me every year. There's somebody new coming in my neighborhood, you know, all the time. And I'm afraid I'm shrinking my responsibility, even as a believer, to go into town, you see. Because maybe I've been offended, I've been hurt sometime by passing out a tract, or someone didn't take it, or all that, you see. And we need to recognize, hey, what's more important? Me being offended once in a while, or somebody dying and going to hell? Which is more important? Which is the most valuable thing? You know, God's people, after a while, we get to where we can take sometimes the things that the world throws at us, you know. And we need to be reminded of that. I saw a sign this week outside in front of a church, and the sign said, Satan hates this church. Is that good or bad? But I know one thing, Satan don't like church. He don't like us doing what we do, does he? Trying to win people to Christ and tell people Christ. So we need to realize today that we're in a battle, but thank God we're on the winning side, folks. You know, it's not over yet. You know, Jesus Christ is coming back soon, and we're going to go be with him. But we'll see where we stand today in America as churches and what we're doing and what's taking place in the world today. Stewardship of the New Testament church. First of all, what is the church not? Secondly, what is the church? And secondly, then you will see, when did the church begin? So three things about the church. What the church is not, what the church is, and when did the church begin? First of all, we realize as believers, you've heard this year after year after year, from me or someone, whoever's teaching this class, what the church is not. We know church is not the kingdom of heaven. It's not the kingdom of heaven. Because in the kingdom of heaven, we have saved and unsaved people. You see, the church is not just a building. This is not Fellowship Baptist Church. This is a house. This is a building that we have the opportunity to come together to worship in. But you and I are the church. You and I are the church, you see. So we need to understand that, see. God dwelleth not in temples made by hand, but God dwells in his children, in us as individuals, in our bodies, through the Holy Spirit, you see. The church is not a denomination. A denomination is literally a system of churches with hierarchy. In other words, they got somebody over everybody. You know, well, this church, Fellowship Baptist Church, has nobody over Fellowship Baptist Church except Jesus Christ. He's the ruler. He's the mandate of this church, you see. He's led our pastor to be what this church is today, you see. And so therefore, we find we are responsible to God as a body of believers, not to anyone else. This is an independent Baptist church. We're responsible to God and God alone. Am I? That's enough. That's enough to be responsible to God in everything that's done around here. that it might bring honor and glory to him. So we see, first of all, what the church is not. What the church is not. Now turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's look today here in this passage of Scripture as Paul, he is writing to the church at Corinth. He's comparing the church with a human body. Comparing what the church is like compared to a human body. And we'll see here what he's talking about. First of all, we find in verse number 12, chapter 12, verse number 12, Paul says this, "For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ." So we see here, the members of the body, the members of the body. The Bible refers to the church as a body. The church is a body, and we are members of a body. It's like we have members in our own body, you see here. So we see the church at Corinth, according to Paul, was the body of Christ. We at Fellowship Baptist Church are the body of Christ. We're the body of Christ. We do not have the same gifts, the same talents and all that, but we're all one body. We're all one body, see. Each member in the church, in particular, has a particular form, a place, and also a use. Your form is different, your place is different, and your use is different, but every one of us are one in Christ as a body of the Lord Jesus Christ. We see in verse 13, we see the miracle of this body. Verse 13 says, "For by one Spirit we're all baptized into what? One body." What is that one Spirit? Being the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God. "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink in one Spirit." So we see the miracle of the body of Christ. Who are we as believers? Tell me, the body of Christ. We're the body of Christ, are we not? And we all, the miracle is that we're baptized into one body and by one Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit of God. We all become one. We all become one in Christ by the baptism we see. Now, we also see not only that miracle and the members of the body, but we also see in verse number 14, we see the function. "For the body is not one member, but many." It's not one member, but many. There are many members in this church. We're one body, but we all function differently. We all function differently. Let's look at the function of this. Verse 15 says, "If the foot shall say, because I am not the head, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body?" Of course, we know the answer is no. It's still the body, you know. And you as a member and I as a member of Fellowship Baptist Church, we're different people, but we're all the same body. And we function together, you see. "And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling?" See, we're looking at the body, physical body, comparing it to the body of Christ. You know, pastor's teaching on Wednesday, he's comparing the physical birth with the spiritual birth and how it compares here. Well, Paul is trying to teach us here, he's comparing the church with our body, the body of church and the church itself, you see, how we look, we are similar in so many situations, you see. We see the fellowship here, all the members of the body, the fellowship. The hands have to work together, do they not? Our feet have to work together. There has to be fellowship there. If my feet are not in fellowship, I can fall and stumble, can't I? I can hurt, you know, I can't, you know, my body has to function together. And likewise, the church functions together to accomplish the things that God wanted to be done. And it is the winning of souls to the Lord Jesus Christ, you see. So we see here what's taking place. In verse number 17, "If the whole body again were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him." God has made your body the way it pleased him. And God forms the church the way he pleases him. You see? He lets different people in the church do different things because of their gifts. pastor of the church is the man who is the one who administrates this, or he's the steward over this to make sure that the church functions with that in order, with in mind. So we see here how Paul was describing the church as being likened to a body. The body, and our body is likened to the church, you see. So we see here in verse 21, we see the fellowship. Look at it. Verse 21, and the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of these, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. The eyes need the feet, right? And the feet need the eyes to function in this body. Well, likewise, the church, whoever's in the body, we need everybody to function together. Without unity, this body is in trouble, amen? Without unity in the church is in trouble, see? So it takes unity. God is trying to compare this here. He's talking about the fellowship of the body and the members, you see. In verse number 22 says, nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. The members of our body that are feeble seem to be necessary too. You know, have you ever hurt your hand, hurt your finger, hurt your foot, whatever, you know, and it don't function the way it ought to function, but yet it's still there, isn't it? And it's still necessary, isn't it? It's still necessary. And sooner or later, it's going to get well, and you can be back to normal again. See, we, you know, as the church grows older in the Lord, there are people in this church that are getting older. I am. We all are. And there's some that's not going to be able to do what they used to do. And God help us to have a generation coming up behind us to take over and do what those that went on before did. That's the function of the church, because we need this. Everybody in this church is necessary. Everybody in this church is needed. No matter how insignificant you may think you are important to God. And you're important to Fellowship Baptist Church. You see, it's like every member of your body is important. Every member of this body, the church, is important to God and also to Fellowship Baptist Church. Now, look at verse number 23. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. Verse 24, for our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that these should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all members be honored with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. We all, one member suffers, we all suffer. Just like you parents that have children, you have grandchildren. Whenever you know something is wrong with them physically, you hurt too, don't you? You hurt too. Well, likewise, when one member of the body of Christ hurts for all. And we should hurt one for another. We should hurt one for another. You know, we have people in our church that, again, are getting older. People that used to come but can't come now. You know, it's my goal, and I hope it is yours, at least to pray for them. Send them a card. If you can, call them and go by and see them. Because they're still just as important today as they were the day they were here in operation, so to speak. They're just as important to God. And let's don't leave those people out. Yes, we ought to be out here knocking on doors. And we ought to be trying to win people to Christ. But let's don't forget those that used to come that are not coming now because of physical problems in this church. We need to love them and let them know we love them, you see. The body functions together. It's what Paul is trying to encourage us here. See, the church is a unified body. The church is a functional body. It works together. What is the purpose of the church? To win people to Christ. To get the gospel out there to everybody, you see. We're a functional body here. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse number 4. The church is also referred to in Revelation chapter 21, verse 9, as the bride of Christ. The bride of Christ. We're his bride. One day we're going to be married. We're going to be in heaven with him forever, throughout eternity. And what a day that's going to be. So we talked about what the church is and what the church is not. And what the church is, Now let's look quickly at, when did the church begin? When did the church begin? Take your Bibles and turn back to Matthew chapter 16. When did the church begin? First of all, let me say this. In Bible study, when you study the Bible, we have a law that is called the law of prime mention. That is simply this. When a subject is first mentioned in the Bible, when is the church mentioned first in the Bible? When is it mentioned first in the Bible? We see in Matthew chapter 16, look at verse 13. Matthew 16, verse 13. The Bible says this, Jesus says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon, or Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. But I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock, he says, I will build my what? Church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. This is the first mention of the church in the Bible. And Jesus is foreshadowing, he's going to build his church. I will build my church. It doesn't start here. He's saying, I'm going to do it. This is giving a prophecy, if you want to call it. The word church here in this means a called out assembly in the New Testament. It's a called out assembly. That's who the church is. But Christ is mentioned here in the New Church, in the New Testament church. It's found in Matthew chapter 16. We also, a church, a body, is called a body. A church is called a body. A church is called also an assembly, called out assembly. And a church also is called the bride of Christ. So the church is called three things. First of all, it's called a what? A body. A called out assembly, and what else? The bride of Christ. This is what the Bible refers to as the church. A short time after Jesus died and rose again, here we find, after this occasion here, he's writing in Matthew 16, we find that Pentecost came and the church began to take its place. The church began. So we see the church is founded on what? The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The church is founded upon him. Him alone. Jesus says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So the church is built because of the Lord Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and revelation. The church is founded upon the Lord, Jesus Christ, and him alone. That's why we have the church. If it were not for Jesus, there would not be a church. There would not have a church in the world today. Thank God for the church. Amen? I thank God we have a church to come to. A church that we can come and worship the Lord in, you see. We see the church is founded on the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ. We see in his ascension when he went back to the Father, to be with the Father. So when he went back to the Father, before he went back, he says, I'll not leave you comfortless, did he not? But I'll send the Spirit. I'll send the Comforter. And he'll teach you all things that you need to know. Thank God one day he's coming back. I'm looking forward, aren't you? To the Lord coming back one day. I thank God for the church. Thank God that we have the opportunity to be a part of the church, a member of the body of Christ, the bride of Christ. Thank God in this world we live in today, there is something, someone I should say, worth living for. And that is Jesus Christ. The world offers us much, folks. But what the world offers us is going to be vanished away one day. Do you realize, and I realize that one day, I will be gone, I will be here. And everything I may have in this world is going to be all left behind. And who's going to get it? I don't care. But I know one thing, I'm going to be with my Savior. That's where I long to be. I long to be there. I have friends, I have neighbors, I have a lot of family members. My parents, both my parents, I have a brother, sister. All my aunts and uncles are gone on. They don't live here anymore. Not all my aunts and uncles were saved, but most of them were. all but two. I'm thankful to know that there's going to be a glad reunion day one day for God's people. It's all because of the church. It's all because of Jesus Christ and what he has made possible for mankind in this world. He loved man so much that he had a plan. He designed a plan for everybody to be saved and everybody to live with him throughout eternity. My, what a Savior. My, what an opportunity the world has today to hear about him through the church. Church, what are we doing? What are we doing? Let's realize, again, as I said before, the fields are white. They're white unto harvest. And when we look around us, there's subdivision going up. People moving in this part of the world. We have a greater responsibility to tell. We have a great responsibility to go and tell. Now, there's only one way into the church, and you know that. You must be born again. You don't just come and sign a card and become a member of the church. You have to be born into the church. And that takes the new birth. Nicodemus told Jesus, you see, stewardship of the New Testament church. What the church is not. What the church is. And what, when the church began, are very, very important to me. Are very important to you, I know. I'm thankful today for the church. How many of you were raised in a church? Raise your hand. Most of you were. A lot of you were. Not all of you. Probably, maybe 50, not quite 50%. But I'm thankful for the church today, aren't you? I want the church to keep on, don't you? And Jesus said it will. He said the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I'd like to be part of it, don't you? I want to be part of that body that keeps on keeping on and occupies, as Jesus says, until he comes. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for loving us. We thank you for the church. We thank you for the body of Christ. That we can labor together as our body functions together to get us through life day by day. We can labor together as a body. And we can see people saved. We can see people encouraged. We can see one another grow in the Lord. And what a blessing it is to see that week after week. Father, do help us, Lord, in these days we're living in. Lord, help us, Lord, to realize that more than anything else, we need to reach out and tell people about Christ. Lord, we need not to be talking about other things, but about him. Lord, I just pray you'd encourage us to do that. Father, we wait now upon you, Lord, for the next service, this hour. I pray, God, you will just have your will and way in the service. Bless our preacher, Lord. Give him that strength he needs today to present your word the way you have it presented. Lord, may you be honored, may you be glorified today in the church. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.